For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. There's nothing sweeter than baking cookies during the holidays. With Prime, I get all my ingredients delivered right to my door, fast and free. No last-minute store trips needed. And of course, I blast my favorite holiday playlist on Amazon Music. It's the ultimate soundtrack for creating unforgettable memories. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Rush back to throw, looking left, throws, and it is intercepted. Nice. Picked off by Geno Stone.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Joe has the football. He'll look to throw. Fires a pass. Caught by Jamar Chase. Touchdown! A 40-yard strike.
Earlier on the show, NFL on Fox analyst Rob Gronkowski. Steelers defensive tackle Cam Hayward. Coming up, SMU head coach Rhett Lashley. Comedian Sam Morril. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We spoke to Gronk and Cam Hayward, two of the best in the National Football League from past and present. The comedian Sam Morril will be joining us in studio in about 20 minutes' time. We just talked about the college football playoff dozen, and one of the head coaches that has an opportunity to go on a run and win it all is joining us here to kick off hour number three of the program, SMU head football coach Rhett Lashley here on the Rich Eisen Show. Good to chat with you, Coach. How are you, sir?
Rich, pretty busy getting ready for the first round, but excited to be on the show with you.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I appreciate you taking time out. Let's walk me through your emotions on Saturday when your team was down at half and you knew what was right there in front of you as an opportunity and what needed to happen, and then the game, and then you go into wondering about your future. Coach, can you walk me through all that? For me?
Yeah, it was a pretty eventful 18 hours or so. You know, we've had a great season. We were excited to play in that championship game, thought we were ready to go, and we just had a really bad first quarter. Gave them some really gift opportunities they took advantage of, and found ourselves down 24-7 at halftime. And you know, we went into half and we just said, look, we couldn't pretty much play the worst first quarter. They can do it 24-7 and a half, we can too. And, you know, our guys did a great job of regrouping. They believed it. They knew it. I mean, I think we had outgained them in the first half. They felt like we belonged, like we have all year. And so, but credit to them to go out and until the last 16 seconds, they did. We won the second half 24-7, came back to tie it with 16 seconds to go. And then we didn't cover a kick the way we should. And their kid made an unbelievable kick and we lost. And so then you go into the locker room, you're obviously disappointed you didn't win the championship, but you know, it happens in big time games. Someone's going to lose, but then knowing that in about 11 or 12 hours, you're going to find out if you'd done enough to get into the playoff. A lot of emotions there. So we were on pins and needles and pretty unsettled for the next 11 or so hours traveling home. And then fortunately, a little after 11, we are 11 Central time. We saw our name called. And so it was a pretty wide range of emotions in those 18 hours.
I'm sure. And then, you know, you go from, you know, having four quarters to control what you can control, and then you're immediately in a position where you can't control a damn thing anymore except pounding a table. Did you or anybody in the administration make some phone calls to anybody in the committee or anything like that to politic after?
Yeah, we don't have access to the committee. I mean, we politicked for the week leading up. I know our conference did, our commissioner did. I mean, I'm grateful to the committee for doing what I think, at least from what it looked like to me, most of America thought was the right thing. You know, it's one thing, conference championship games are a big deal. And only us in Oregon went undefeated in a Power Four conference in the regular season. And so we earned the right to be there. And had the committee have gone into championship weekend and left us outside of the playoff bracket, then I'm fine with that. Like, we know we have to win to get in, like Clemson did. But the fact that they had us in, they had us ranked ahead of two teams, Indiana and Alabama, that were also in the field but weren't playing in their championship weekend, you know, you just felt like we earned the right to be in championship weekend. But if we lose, maybe our seed gets affected, which it did. If we'd have won, we'd have had a bye and be the 3 seed. We lost. We're the 11 seed. But you just feel like, man, you don't want to penalize people for earning that opportunity. Because if you do, then in the future, like, who's going to play in conference championship games?
And did you learn through television that you made it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they don't – that stuff doesn't get shared. We were watching in my living room holding our breath as ESPN did an excellent job building drama for that last one. We were either going to see a Mustang or we were going to see an A. And when we saw the Mustang, my kids went crazy running around the house. And, you know, it was a good moment.
How old are they? How old are your kids?
My twin boys are 14. My twin girls are 8.
Wait, so you got two sets of twins? Is that what you're saying? You got two sets of twins?
I do.
How do you still have your hair, man?
It's running away from me up here. Wow. It's efficient way to do things, but it's crazy.
It's efficient, but crazy. That is definitely – well, I could say the same thing about the college football playoff committee, right? I mean it's kind of wild. So you learn that way, and then what? You make phone calls, got to get to work. You got to start watching Penn State, right?
Yeah, we had set a team meeting for 3 no matter what our fate was going to be. So we came in and did some things here or there and then had the meeting and celebrated with the guys. They were really excited to get another opportunity to go out and prove they belong. And after we kind of felt like we let one slip the night before. And then, yeah, I mean, we got our hands full. We're going all the way up to Happy Valley, 106,000 people on the road at Penn State. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, but this is what you live for, though, right? That sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
If you're a competitor, that's the – the opportunity. I mean, you got to look at SMU and our program that has a rich history. As you know, you go all the way back to Doak Walker in the 30s to Eric Dickerson and the Pony Express in the 80s, but we just haven't been back on this stage in a while. And so to get back to this stage and to be playing in games where it's SMU and Penn State, there's 12 teams playing for a national championship and we're one of them. That was the vision. That's where we wanted to be. And so we're excited. We know it's going to be a difficult challenge to overcome, but that's why you compete to get a chance to go do it.
Brett Lashley, the head coach and the ACC Coach of the Year of SMU, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. So how do you prep for the first ever tournament like this? I mean, it's one thing like in, you know, where you got to win one or two to win it all. Now you got to win 4. I mean,
yeah.
And there's really no history here in college football to do something like what you're tasked to do. So what do you do right now?
Yeah, you know, from a calendar standpoint, we're okay. It was 13 days from the announcement to our game. So it's almost like this week's like an off weekend season for us. Mm-hmm. So we get an extra week of prep. We also get a week to try to rest our bodies and recover from a long season. And then next week's like a normal game week. So, you know, that part of it almost is like riding a bike. It's obviously the prep to figure out a way to try to beat Penn State. And that's a challenge in and of itself. But then the college football transfer portal opened up yesterday. Mm. So you've got free agency in the middle of your season, which no other sport does. And so we're trying to retain our roster for next year. We have guys that are seniors, right, that this is it for them. So we have visitors coming that are in the transfer portal to potentially come be a part of this team and replace them next year. And we're preparing for a playoff game.
How the hell do you do that? I mean, right?
I'll let you know in about 12 days. We're working on it. It's uncharted territory for the 12 teams that are in this deal. And,
yeah.
And we're all handling it, I think, like football coaches. You know, we see a problem, we just run to it and find a way to solve it.
And try and fix it. And so have you started grinding tape on the Nittany Lions? Have you done that yet? We started yet?
We have. Our staff has for sure. I have not gotten to it as much as I'd like. I'm getting into it this afternoon.
Is that just because of the portal stuff? Is that what you're saying?
Pretty much, yeah.
So that's how you're going to start digging into it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got to be able to multitask.
I bet. Rhett Lashley here on the Rich Eisen Show. I spoke to Josh Heupel last week. He's a head coach in this tournament now and also played quarterback. You did too. How do you coach Kevin Jennings? Hard?
How does a quarterback, former quarterback, now an HC, coach their QB right now?
Yeah, well, two things. One, I got an incredible quarterback coach in De'Aaron King, who was a really good college football player, and I got to coach him as well. So he does an excellent job coaching the quarterbacks. We do it together. Yeah, I think you got to be demanding of your quarterbacks. At the same time, you got to have a great relationship with them. The play caller to quarterback relationship is arguably as big of a relationship as any in sports, because the quarterback, look, you got to have a good one first of all. And then if he doesn't play well, you're not going to win. It doesn't matter who you are and at what level. That's why in the NFL every year when the playoffs get around, the teams that are in it are the ones with the best quarterbacks. And there's very few exceptions usually. And so you have to be able to build confidence in them, build your offense around what they do very, very well. And at the same time, to your point, be demanding of them. So, you know, that takes a lot of time together, a lot of trust both ways. And we just couldn't be more proud of Kevin. He's a winner. He's a leader. And our team really believes in him.
And, you know, obviously a lot on his shoulders and his arm, and so many hopes of so many SMU fans that can't believe what's happening with your team and are very excited to see it all. So do you guys have any connection with the Pony Express guys, or those days are over, or what? I mean, any of those SMU guys still around the program for you, Coach?
You know, what's been great, when I got hired 3 years ago, a lot of the former players weren't, at least maybe some of the former players from the last 5 or 6 years, you know, like a Cortland Sutton, but not a lot. And so we've really reached out, and it was really cool. Like, I got text from Emmanuel Sanders yesterday,
just
telling me how excited he was watching that game and how fired up he is for us to be in the playoff. And then, you know, Eric Dickerson and Craig James were at the game. They were honorary captains at the ACC championship game. I think Craig's come to almost all the games this year at home because he lives nearby, and Eric's come to 3 or so. Like, they care, they text, they're involved. That started a few years ago, and of course we've been winning, so that helps. But I think it just started with making sure those guys felt welcome back. You know, I talked to Kelvin Beachum the other day. He's in the middle of his season for the Cardinals right now. And so, you know, James Prochet, on and on and on. And, you know, we're now winning. We're on the national stage again. So those guys are proud of their program, and they feel welcome back. And that's a big deal to us, because we have a lot of those guys. And so, I mean, Eric Dickerson still has the NFL record for most rushing yards, I believe, in a season. That's pretty impressive.
That is correct. And then just you, your journey. Can you tell me about Gus Malzahn's your guy, right? He's the guy that pretty much brought you in to coaching back in the day.
Yeah, he was my high school coach. So when I was just a seventh grader at my school, he got the head high school job, and I played in his system in junior high. And then he coached me my sophomore and junior year of high school before taking another job. And so, you know, I learned a lot of the game. That player coach relationship I was talking about for me was him. And then when he got into college, you know, he gave me the opportunity to get in as a graduate assistant and then one day be his OC. And so, yeah, I owe a lot of my opportunity to him.
But is it true, again, this is a, by the way, not to pull a Coach Signetti on you, but I Googled you.
Oh gosh.
is it true you left coaching for a couple of years to write a magazine? Is that, did you do that? No. What
it's true. About? It wasn't exactly that, but it is true. Yeah. So okay. After my first year as a graduate assistant in 06 at Arkansas, we had Darren McFadden and Felix Jones and those guys.
Nice.
Gus took the OC job at Tulsa. I was going to go be a graduate assistant, coach the running backs. It was an incredible opportunity. I was in my early 20s. I was engaged. We were getting married like 4 or 5 months later. Long story short, I just went over there and didn't have a real piece about it, and I didn't do it, which at that point pretty much ended my career in coaching. Like, it's really hard to get those opportunities, and when you say no to one, you're kind of out. And I won't get into all the reasons. It ended up being the right decision for me, even though it made no sense.
Sure.
So I got married, and the first 2 years of our marriage, I wasn't in coaching, and I had figured out about a month after I didn't do that, I got to find a job. And so my brother-in-law had a friend in Oklahoma. Anyways, they had a franchise called, at the time, High School Sports the Magazine, later became Vipe the Magazine, which is like, it's like a Sports Illustrated for high schools in your state. Best way I can describe it. So I never wrote the magazine. I was basically the owner, director, and the marketing person, and I did all the sales and hired an editor. But I was like a sports sales marketing business. Yeah. I did that for about 22 months, but 6 months in, I knew I needed to coach. And then fortunately for me, a few years later, Gus got the OC job at Auburn, and he wasn't mad at me anymore. So he called and said, hey, do you want to go to Auburn? And I think I was in Auburn before he got there.
Yeah. And now you're the ACC Coach of the Year for SMU in the College Football Playoff, first ever 12-team field. It's just unbelievable how this stuff works out, right? It's crazy.
Can't make it up. Everybody's path's different, and it's kind of cool. Everyone's got a unique story.
Well, listen, good luck, sir. It's a pleasure to have you on here, get to meet you and get to know you. As a Michigan Wolverine, you know, I'll be keenly looking at your game against Penn State, maybe with a certain interest. Normally I don't wear red, but you know, it'll be one of those days for me. You never know.
I'm in. Okay. We'll take all we can get.
Okay. Well, I look forward to chatting with you again. Good luck against Penn State, and a pleasure to see that you made the field. Thank you.
Thanks, Rich. Appreciate it.
You got it. That's Rhett Lashley, the head coach of SMU football, the reigning ACC Coach of the Year. What a journey. I Googled him.
I love that. No matter what line of work you're in, coaching, our business, everyone's journey is different and unique to them, but it helps them, you know, shape who they are and mm-hmm. how they look at going about the job each day.
He's not wrong. When you're in coaching and some coach says, come with me, and this is an opportunity for you, and these opportunities are like golden tickets to be a grad assistant. Even, you know, you hear the grad assistant, okay. But yeah, you're a grad assistant. Do you want to be a coach or not? And if you say no,
it's like he said,
out,
right?
Excommunicated.
Well,
why would I call you
place.
Again? I'm not calling you again.
Yeah, exactly. There's someone else to replace you.
Right? Yep. And now he's the ACC Coach of the Year for SMU football.
Crazy.
It's great.
I like that.
Taking on Penn State. No offense.
Yeah, I mean, that was a little harsh, you know.
No
you
offense.
Wanting to wear red, and I'm sitting
Dude.
Right here, and, you know, but cool.
No? I mean, I texted you what I was going to tell him.
Yeah, but, exactly. Tell us what you're doing over the weekend.
Oh, my bad. I missed that in the 76 that were there. Let me go back.
76.
And it's true because I just counted them, by the way.
Ladies and gentlemen.
That's nuts, DJ.
All right, let's take a break. Sam Morrill is going to come out here. Very funny man. Let's chat with him. 844-204-RICH. We'll talk about the Eagles before we got out the door on the other side. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle? You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts. For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5x membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness. As many of you clearly know, I love going to watch football live. There's nothing like it, whether it's college football or professional football. There's nothing quite like the excitement of being in the stadium. And Game Time tickets and Game Time picks through Game Time is exactly your way and your gateway to getting the seat that you want and the experience that you'll never forget. Game Time Picks is a new curation feature that filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't waste a single second searching through thousands of tickets. The all-in pricing feature, that's my favorite. You get to see your total upfront, no surprise fees at checkout. With Game Time, you'll always get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork right out of buying tickets right now with Game Time. Download the Game Time app. Create an account. Use my code of Eisen for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account. Redeem my code EISEN. Boom, $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time. That scene was unbelievable to finally see pieced together after it was shot over, my God, an entire calendar day in New York City.
I told you, I broke my rib on the first take of the first shot of the day.
Now, I can't believe that. Are you serious?
Crazy. We rehearsed that thing for, we choreographed the hell out of it, and we rehearsed it for a month. We had it down. But then, you know, you get in front of the cameras, they're actually rolling, and 300 extras, adrenaline gets going, and he tagged me, and I thought, that's not good. But it wasn't agonizing until the next day. So, you know, I'd love to be able to say I pulled a canter and pulled through excruciating pain.
No,
it wasn't that bad until the next day.
Because I couldn't tell at all. I mean, nobody.
That's great.
I couldn't tell at all. Were you medicating yourself throughout the day, Kelly?
I had a lot of ibuprofen, and there was a medic on set who sort of felt it. People kept telling me, Dante Wilder, who was in my corner,
yes,
was like, no, I don't think it's broken. You wouldn't be able to move right now. And then afterwards, I thought, well, his threshold of pain is probably a little higher than mine. But there was a medic on set who felt around, and she was like she felt this little ka-chunking, and she's like, you know, that's not, it's not good.
Mm. So you asked Deontay Wilder for, you know, he doesn't play a doctor, he's not one on TV, but clearly he is somebody who might have been injured in a ring at some point in his life. You, Kelly O'Coin, asked him for just a little bit of a diagnosis on the spot?
I think I was just like, I don't know what's going on. I mean, it might be broken. And he just, you know, he didn't say it's not. I think he just said, nah, I don't think so.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Look who's stopped by back here on the Rich Eisen Show in advance of his new tour, the Errors Tour, launching in February. Tickets on sale now at sammorrill.com. Yes. Sam Morrill is here.
Good to see you. How are you? Good to see you.
Fresh in from New York, are you?
I was in Phoenix, Austin. I've been all over.
You're all over?
Yeah.
But that's your base of operations is New York, pretty much?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a New Yorker.
The home of Juan Soto for the next 16 years? Just not the Bronx?
I'm shocked.
How are you shocked? Come on.
I mean, I knew he was going to go to the Mets, but I'm still shocked. I just felt he didn't want to be, the Mets seem more fun right now. I'm a Yankees fan, but like they just seem like a more fun
team.
Why
does it look more fun to you? Why would it be more fun?
Just, you know, like that Edwin Diaz song, the trumpets are playing,
oh,
and,
right.
And you can have a beard. Enough of this, enough of this no beard stuff.
For
the beggars can't be choosers at this point. This isn't the 90s Yankees. I'm a fan, but like, come on, make the team look fun. Also, like,
Sam gets it.
I mean, you can't win it with, you have, you know, Stanton was incredible in the playoffs.
He was.
And Judge was terrible, but he got us there. You got to give him credit for that.
He's the MVP.
He's phenomenal. But he gave us, I mean, that was tough. Don't tell me you weren't getting angry by the end.
You know what?
By the end, it was pretty rough.
By the end, I was resigned.
Yeah.
That was my emotion was
Soto
resigned.
He wasn't re-signed.
Nice. Hey, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, wordplay. Yeah.
Yeah, and we turned the trumpets into trombones, though. The womp womp when Clay Holmes comes out of that door.
Oof.
I'll tell you what. Although he's a starter now. He's going to turn into Brett Saberhagen.
Cy
My
Young
bad.
Clay Holmes next.
Oh, that's right. Cy Young Clay Holmes.
Right.
Yeah, maybe it's good for the Yankees to be humbled a little. Sometimes, and also, guess what? It's a ton of money. It's an insane amount of money. Like, I'm a Knicks fan. When the Nets signed Durant and Kyrie, and then they got Harden, we're like, all right, it's over. And now look what happened. So just getting the big flashy name at that price, I know it's a different sport. There's no cap.
No, but I'm with you. You know, and I don't know, again, if that's just my coping mechanism here to sit here and say, well, you know what? That's a lot of money for one guy who does one thing, which is hit.
Yeah.
There's other parts to the game, like fielding, there's, you know, base running and things of that nature, and he's excellent at hitting, and everything else is not, you know, what you pay $765 million over 15 years was about. But
that's how they're telling us to get over this. So they're like, just sign a bunch of pieces. It's literally like you got dumped by the hottest girl, and your friends are like, just bang a bunch of fours. You know, it's like, All right. We need some pieces for sure.
Of course.
The depth was a problem. But like,
I don't think it's not going to be fours, though. You know?
Let's get some sevens.
Sam, if you can't get a 10, get yourself 5 twos.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe.
They're not going to be 5 twos. No. But that is part of my coping mechanism, to see who they are going to get. And will they spend $760 million in the aggregate? Like, they're going to spend on one guy.
Who's beating the Dodgers right now? I mean, that it's so stacked. Also, you look at what you get out of Shohei versus Soto. It's like you get two positions versus one.
I know.
You get to defer the contract. You get this huge audience in Japan. I mean, it just seems like Soto's a great player, but it seems like you're overpaying by a lot.
You know what? I'm with you, and I hope that you are right when it's all said and done. But I can see what you're saying. Like, the Mets are kind of those lovable guys in Queens. The Yankees are this CEO team that needs to win or nothing. Yes. And the Mets are like those lovable, you know, losers, but they're not losers anymore. And
they
as a matter of
more
fact,
games hey, against man, the Dodgers and the Yankees
I,
did.
Brother, and as I said on Monday's show, the thing that's very difficult for me to comprehend as a, you know, a longtime Yankee fan going back to Catfish Hunter and Reggie Jackson is that the Mets can now spend more money than the Yankees. That the whole business of whatever the Yankees were, pinstripes, come to the place where DiMaggio played and Mantle played, and you can make more money than you can anywhere else. Those days are gone. It's
DiMaggio
over.
Is turning his grave right now. he was so the purest Yankee. You look at the history. We got the cool history with Gehrig and Babe and DiMaggio and Mantle and Berra, everything, but you have to look at right now, and right now the Mets seem fun, and being a scrappy underdog. Baseball is about being a scrappy underdog. It's about, like, you think of the rally caps and how it's like a dirty sport. And I don't know. Yankees, I think, need to be humbled a little, but hopefully we get a bunch of pieces and you figure it out.
Oh, I thought you were referring to DiMaggio as the guy dumped by the hot girl that needed to find somebody else.
Well, yeah,
that's
I guess.
That's what you meant right there.
No, but I mean, right? Marilyn Monroe?
Yeah, you get it?
Yeah, I got it.
Now, I'm just making 50s pop culture references. Try and keep up with me. the old guy.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. It's funny. Mike Hoskins, if you have that photograph ready that I was talking about beforehand, we did meet the Mets owner, you and I, back in the day together. You just don't remember. It was in the form of Bobby Axelrod. There he is, right there up on the screen. We had no idea he was going to own the Mets.
It feels like a Billions plot, too.
The whole thing does.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure Wags was trying to make sure Juan Soto was, you know, hanging out. You know, having fun while he's learning how to sign with Axe Cat. But there you are in the middle. There I am right there.
It's all, I'm just glad he didn't. I'm glad he's in the city. I'm one of those Yankees fans, and I know I'm going to get for this, but like I'm one of those Yankees fans that like I don't hate it when the Mets are competitive. I think it's good for the city.
Right.
I'm a Giants fan, but I don't hate it when the Jets are. Luckily, they both suck. I mean,
you
Jesus.
Don't have to worry about that.
The no, Giants are it's hard though. To watch.
Yankees and Mets are different than Mets. Giants and Jets. You know, it's kind of different than Knicks and Nets either. But that's,
Nets aren't even in the equation.
I don't even think
Nets
so.
Are like they're Jersey gone. To me still. I don't think of the Nets.
Right.
You don't
go to Barclays. You don't go there.
I go for Liberty games. I don't go for the Nets.
Those are fun games, right?
I love it. Yeah. Right. I mean, I didn't love that Sabrina Ionescu shot 1 of 19 in the championship, but right. They won.
Yeah, they
it
did.
It was an ugly... That game set women's rights back like 20 years. That was rough. I'm a fan of the WNBA.
That, Sam, I'll bite on that one. But that was that game five. I remember there was a Sunday night game going on. There was a game five going on. And it was a baseball playoff game going on, right? Wasn't something like that?
That was a hot time in New York where New York felt on fire and then it just fell apart. But
Mets, Yankees, Liberty, and then, you know,
and the
Jets. The Jets were 2-2.
Yeah.
And the Knicks were getting started.
Aaron Rodgers, 2-2. Like, it's so funny to look back. By the way, how bad do you have to be to depress Jets fans? You have to be so bad to be like, you gave them hope and then you just stripped it away. I mean, the Aaron Rodgers, this documentary coming out just infuriates me. Like, you know, he thought he was going to have like an MVP season when he was producing that. He's like, I'm going to bounce back. You get to be a dick when you're performing at a high level. You don't get to be like, you know, yeah, you were a hot chick. So we put up with how crazy you were. But when you're not that hot anymore, we're just like, oh, yeah, you're just kind of crazy. It's not that
Jets,
fun.
3-10 right now. 3-10. I don't know if he's going to come back, but
it's
we'll
funny
see.
We're at the point for the Jets and Giants where we're rooting for them to lose. For the draft picks?
Yeah, of course.
It's like the Giants at that every year. Like, I was so depressed Daniel Jones was our guy. I never saw it. He seems like a really nice kid, too, but, like, I just never... He gave us one game in the playoffs against the Vikings.
It's a hell of a game.
It was a great game, but it's one... Like, that's the bar now, one playoff win.
He made about $100 million off that game, I think.
I know. Well, what do you think Juan Soto got paid off? That one at-bat.
That was against, against the Guardians you're talking about?
That was a badass at-bat. That was the coolest at-bat.
I don't even want to talk about it. But, you know,
Daniel Jones is like...
Right.
That was like years of just this guy sucking. Like, he was at the Comedy Cellar one night, and my friend's a bartender, and he's like, dude, Daniel Jones is here. Do you want to meet him? And I was like, nah, I'm good.
You know? Come on. You didn't want to go meet him?
Nah. I was never a huge fan. I didn't see it, man. He seems like a good kid, but like I just didn't.
I would have met him just to see how he laughs. I've never seen him laugh. Have you ever seen him laugh?
Or blink or do anything.
Never seen him laugh. So you went to Daniel Jones went to a comedy club?
By the way, as a comedian, that's who you want to meet. A person you've never seen laugh ever.
Okay.
If it was any Nick, I probably would have.
Oh, there he is. Then we found a father.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, he's a Viking now. That's why he's smiling.
Well, he needs
in that
to do
photograph.
That. You need to be a backup for a while, just because if he goes to another bad situation, it's over.
I think he's just going to go there and make a $1 million and just learn.
Yeah.
That's what he's pretty much doing. I've got Sam Morrill here on the Rich Eisen Show. You got to be psyched about the Knicks. I know that they're, you know. Were you one of those folks that were bummed that they traded for Karl Anthony Towns because of who they traded away?
I wasn't bummed. I just didn't see it. Like, I didn't see him being this good. I knew he made more sense in our offense. I was a Randall supporter.
Right.
Always. Like, say what you want about Randall, but that guy, like, he always gave 100%.
Well, he's the one you were referring to, Sam, moments ago, the Durant-Kyrie arrival in Brooklyn. The fact that Durant didn't even look at Madison Square Garden, he goes, I'd rather go to Brooklyn, was a kind of a blow for the Knicks because at that time, like, that nobody was coming. They put Durant on like the season ticket brochure, like, hey, these are the guys we're going to chase down, not actually go acquire.
Yeah.
And then Randall showed up. He goes, I'll go there. Turned himself into
a self-made
stud. He was not
good the first year, though.
But he eventually turned himself into somebody.
Second team All-NBA twice. He's a beast.
Which is why I understand diehard Knicks fans were like, we got to get rid of him. But, I mean, Cat's the man.
Cat's the man. Dante really hurt losing, too, because for a one-year Knick, like, who can you even name who's more fun? That was an insane... I was at game two when he hit that game-winning three. Losing Hartenstein actually hurt us the most because of what he could do defensively.
Yes.
You know, great passer, high IQ guy. That changed the identity of the team. So the one thing that hurts watching this year as opposed to last year is we're not getting those offensive boards like we used to. We were beating teams up, and now we're a finesse team, which is fine because offensively we're ridiculous, but we miss Mitch Robinson. We need someone to beat you up a little, especially if you want to get past, you know, a team like Cleveland. You need to beat up Jared Allen. You need to beat up Mobley. Randall beat up Evan Mobley every time we played them.
Hey, man, I know Cleveland's got maybe, you know, the best record, but it's really his Celtics team that you got to eventually
of
face.
Course.
That's the end of
but
that.
You got to get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
That's
you
right.
Know, of course, yeah, the Celtics are the best team. They're the best team. And I met Jaylen Brown, and it annoyed me how cool he was. I did a benefit, like, not a benefit. It was like for Fashion Week. They dressed all these comics up. We did the Apollo, and they put me in like a fur coat. And when I say I bombed, I opened, I think my first line was, I'm in a fur coat. I'm like, man, I haven't sweat this much since I raw dogged a QAnon chick. Silence. And I'm like, maybe not the right icebreaker for this crowd. And Jaylen Brown's in the green room after. And I was like, oh, man, well, screw this guy anyway. He's a Celtic. I hate him. And then he came over and he was like so cool. And I was like, damn it, he's all right. And he even entertained listening to how much I hate the Celtics and was cool about it.
Well, I mean, he's...
Yeah, what's he going to say?
He lost one playoff game and dominating, you know? And they didn't even have Porzingis for all of them. And he's using Porzingis. I mean, forget it.
He's a cool guy.
Cool.
But he also... I hate that they gave the Celtics ammo. Like, you know, Tatum is getting all this crap for not being the finals MVP. He didn't get to play in the USA games. Yeah. Brown doesn't even get picked. It's like, you know, so you win the championship and you come into the season angry.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that they did that for them because they're already like, They're a super team defensively, and I hate how they play. 63s a game. It's so boring.
I understand what you were saying, Sam, which is why I tried to use my microphone on behalf of the Knicks faithful for good, trying to stir up some sort of a controversy within the Celtics locker room. The fact that Jaylen Brown is angry he wasn't picked means he thinks his teammate Derek White didn't deserve to go. So I'm trying I'm trying to use it in a way like, hey, if you every minute that you think you've got that chip on your shoulder because you weren't picked, well, who's the one who was picked instead of you? That guy's right on the other side of your locker room.
So I like that.
And you know Drew Holiday on that side.
Yeah, and Drew Holiday. Yeah. You didn't think Drew deserved to put, and Tatum's like, well, Holiday got all those minutes and I didn't get any minutes at all. Like, you see where I'm going?
Yeah, and I heard Brown says that White has messed up teeth too.
Yeah, let's keep
He's
going.
Seen all kinds of stuff.
Let's keep going because he chipped a tooth, right?
Uh-huh. I think the
Trying
Knicks
to win a championship.
I think the Knicks are doing really well considering how many new pieces they have, and like, you know, give Bridges
it
a
takes
minute.
Time.
Bridges is. We love to get angry early, but like new team. He's in a new role.
Yeah.
You're asking him to be the dude he was like 4 years ago, not the dude he was a year ago. So give Bridges a minute, I think.
Right. And maybe 2 weeks from now, you'll be raising an NBA Cup banner.
Dude.
Next to the Billy Joel banner. Next to the,
Get Josh Hart as AP.
Next to Walt Frazier, right? Next to Walt Frazier's retired jersey. Here comes the Emirates Cup banner.
Do we put those up? Do you raise those banners?
The Lakers put one up,
Well, then we better.
Lakers put it up.
Yeah, Lakers put one up.
They're not putting up much this year. They are looking.
I don't know. I mean, it's going to take. Listen. LeBron finally missed a game, so they started like a house of fire. I don't know.
Yeah, a house on fire. Three wins.
they're not the Cavs.
You know,
no, that's true.
They're above 500. The Lakers are above 500.
Sam Morrill here on the Rich Eisen Show. The Errors Tour. I like that, man.
Yeah. Although I'm so annoyed. I was just in Phoenix and I saw Murr from Impractical Jokers. The Errors Tour. I was like, oh, come on.
Really?
Oh, wow.
And then someone else tagged me. They're like, that was my tour. It was like some guy with 30 followers. I'm like, I'm sorry I didn't follow. I didn't pick up on that. I don't know everybody. We all made the same dumb Taylor Swift joke.
There should be a database where you have to like enter it in and you can see live updates.
I think there is. It's called Google. We're just all lazy. We're just bums.
Or they could have been playing an impractical joke on you, Sam.
Damn it.
I hope you didn't overreact because that might be coming soon to a YouTube channel near you. Uh-oh. I don't know. But it's also comedy. Don't you guys all rip each other off?
Oh, yeah, sure. No, I mean, rip each other off, you know.
Sample. Dan Patrick calls it sampling. That's what he gets. Dan Patrick always
That's rap.
That.
That's not comedy. That's how Mencia got destroyed. Everyone hates Mencia for that.
That's what Dan would, we would always do that at SportsCenter where, you know, we would accuse each other of like, didn't I come up with that on the show the other day? And Dan would call it sampling. I'm just sampling.
You took Booyah?
I never did. No, that one I did not take.
You can't sample?
That wouldn't take. No, so who is it? We talked about this on the show once upon a time where I accused Steve Berthume of stealing Say Hello to My Little Friend for me.
Yep.
And he heard me talk about it and called into the show to push back.
Yeah.
I used to do that for my for a home run call, Say Hello to My Little Friend.
Weinstein said the same pickup line. I think
this guy, everybody. Everybody check out tickets at sammorrill.com. That starts in February. You were co-hosting the Games with Names pod with Edelman for a while.
We had a good time, man. I love Julian.
He's the best.
He's a great guy.
So what were some of the Games with Names? I did that show once. You were not co-hosting it.
Yeah,
the
they
time,
want to shoot out here, and I'm on the road too much. So when it was in New York, it was easy, but they couldn't stockpile them, so I just couldn't do it.
I chose the Bart Scott Jets game that beat Edelman as my game.
That was fun.
Just to troll on him.
Our first
bit.
Episode was he wasn't on the team at the time, but it was the Giants over the Patriots when.
Which one?
The first one.
The helmet catch?
I mean, it's just, and we had Eli and Teddy Bruschi on. It's cool when you have a guy come on to discuss the loss.
Yes.
Because that's, but also it's Teddy Bruschi. You won 3 Super Bowls. It's, you know.
Oh, he's fine.
He's good.
Teddy's doing just
he's
fine.
He's secure.
He is that.
Yeah, I mean, that was probably, as a sports fan, the craziest. Because the thing about football is it's one game. You know, so it's not, you know, a 7-game series.
Yes.
But that's probably number one. And then I don't even know. I mean, because he's Boston royalty, we'd have all these. We'd have like Ortiz on. We'd have Paul Pierce on. And it's like,
oh, my God.
I know. I'm reliving some games. Ortiz, of course, hit me with the 3-0, you know, game 7 comeback, which like you deserve it. That's an incredible achievement.
I was sitting here for just a split moment during the World Series that the Yankees were going to come back from 3-0 down to beat Dave Roberts, who's stolen base, as we all understand, remember, sparked the 3-0 back in the day. You know what I mean?
That game sucked. Yeah, we had great guests. I think the only guest who, every once in a while, we get someone who loved Julian and just was like, who the hell is this guy? And I remember Kurt Warner just hated my guts.
Oh, no.
I think that guy really didn't like me.
Why?
I could tell.
What? Because your style, your sense of humor, yeah, your language?
I was making jokes and I was like, oh, this guy doesn't like me. And so I just, when I'm bombing, I feel like the anxiety to double down. So I just kept making masturbation jokes. And he was, and he just looked at me like, what the hell? Well, I'm going to bomb. I may as well bomb in flames. And Julian's bailing me out. Of course, he's laughing at these horrible jokes. But, yeah, Warner didn't like me.
Oh, Kurt. I can't wait to say it. Guess who was on my show this week, Kurt?
Oh, he probably doesn't remember who the hell I am. But Phil Sims even laughed at my, you know, coarse humor. And, yeah, and he's an old gent. I love, yeah, Phil Sims was cool as hell.
I mean, if Phil had to survive Bill Parcells and his forked tongue, man.
And LT.
I'm sure those ears are not very delicate.
Yeah. No, I mean, we had so many cool guests on the show. I mean, that's the one thing I miss is, I had a great time with him. So, I mean, we're still good buddies.
And then your recent special, Sam Morril, You've Changed, premiered in July. That's still available on Prime Video, which you can see right here on the Roku portal.
That's a good one. I'm proud of that one.
Why is that?
It's just, you know, I think I toured pretty hard with it. You know, I went international. I went to Australia. I went to Europe. I like really ran it through the mud to make sure it was tight and funny. And that's a good one.
Okay, fantastic.
Some of them aren't as good as others.
And the We Might Be Drunk pod with fellow comedian Mark Norman. That is for those who have yet to take it in. As you've released your own brand of whiskey and you're hammering.
Yeah, we get drunk. We don't get drunk every episode. We would be in bad shape. I mean, some guests are like, can you do 11 a.m. on Tuesday? And I'm just like, oh, damn, do we have to drink? So we don't always do it. But it's a lot of fun, man.
Who have you had on that?
A ton of people. You know, it was cool. We had Nick Offerman. We did his scotch and he did our whiskey. So, you know, he's got the Offerman, the Lagavulin, which is like a dream come true for a scotch drinker. Him, we've had... You know, every comic's come through. Bill Burr, Bobby Lee, Tim Dillon. Every comedian comes through. We had Alison Brie on, the actress. Mark, I think, farted on her.
Is that so?
He didn't do it on purpose.
When you say you think, I would sit here and believe that would be confirmed.
I thought that would soften it for some reason. Instead of just saying he farted on her.
I think she did.
Yeah. I think. It's just like, how is something like that in doubt?
Yeah, no, he did it. We've had a million different, so many guests, so many good guests. It's a good show. It's fun.
Well, fantastic.
You come through, have a drink with us sometime. We've had some.
Let me know.
Yeah, we've had Lebatard on. We had Richard Jefferson on.
Oh, now I don't.
Jefferson got hammered.
I'm just kidding.
He got hammered and left. He left his like a big, nice wallet, and he had to come pick it up at the Comedy Cellar from me.
So, but you do that in New York,
yeah?
Or you do it out here?
Yeah, he brought the Offerman blend too. He's a Scotch guy.
Hey, man. RJ. Yeah, I'm more of a red wine guy, but that's probably...
I can see that. We'll drink red wine with you.
When you say I could see that, what do you mean by that?
That sweater? Come on, I don't know.
Don't judge a man by his quarter zip.
It's a nice sweater.
I appreciate
but
that.
But it's like a dignified
cashmere.
Look.
It's cashmere.
Dignified. Yeah. He's called you dignified.
Okay.
Yeah, but the guy who says it's cashmere is not drinking like gutter whiskey. I'm expecting like a nice thing.
Okay. I'm sorry to take it personally then, but I'll come on.
I love red wine. I'll drink red wine.
Let's do it. And the Errors Tour, check it out, starting in February. Ticket sales are on right now at sammorril.com. There's a whole bunch of neat places in February. I used to do stand-up, so I'm happy to open up for you in Columbus, Ohio on April 10th.
Are you going
to
be there?
No, I am not.
You could, though.
I'm a Michigan Wolverine, so I'd love to go there and just talk.
And burn a hole.
Oh, boy.
I did that at the Wiltern last time I was here. I just open. I get on the God mic to bring out my opener, and I just go, first of all, the Lakers suck, and everyone's booing. And I like to start from a deficit.
So if you want to start from a deficit, I should open for you in Columbus, Ohio, because you would be basically halfway to the center of the earth.
That's a good town, though. Columbus is solid.
It is for Michigan people. It's a friendly place. Just a couple Saturdays ago, and then 2 years before that. You know?
Ohio's a rough state because, you know, like... it doesn't take much to be considered nice because you're like, have you been to like Toledo? It's brutal.
I've never been to Toledo.
Oh my, well, good. It's awful. Dayton, Ohio. Have you been? I mean, it's like meth country.
By the way, are
barbecue.
Are you
barbecue?
Is the Errors Tour coming through either of those places?
No, we're not.
Because that's a deficit.
Yeah, but there is something about like if you have like a meth problem, you do have good barbecue usually.
I have no idea there was such a correlation, Sam.
I have no idea. Well, maybe the rib falls off the bone, so you don't need good teeth. Maybe, I don't know. Something like that.
We Might Be Drunk podcasts. Check it out. You've Changed as well on Prime Video, which you can get through the Roku portal right now. And then sammorrill.com for the Errors Tour dates and tickets. Thanks for coming back.
Thanks, Sam, for having me, dude.
Anytime, brother. That's Sam Morrill right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll be back in a moment on the program.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify. With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts are going abandoned and way more sales happen. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skins uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Westwood One, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Westwood One to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/Westwood One.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
Bagel, everybody says I say that weird. It is ruined by a proposal story.
How Jason proposed and she was like, he brought in a bunch of bagels. I was like, I have to stop this.
I will punch you in the throat if you ever tell this story again and call it a bagel.
Let me tell you, now when I tell the story, I go, he went and got breakfast.
There you go.
Bagels.
Yeah.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
Playoff clinching scenario.
Hey!
Bills and Chiefs have already clinched in the AFC. Division winners, both. The Houston Texans can clinch a playoff spot if they beat the Miami Dolphins and then the Colts lose at Denver. Then the AFC South is clinched and the Texans can join the Chiefs and the Bills with a home playoff game to start things off.
Okay.
What's the scenario?
The Pittsburgh Steelers can clinch a playoff spot just by beating the Eagles, or if the Dolphins and Colts both lose.
Okay.
So basically, if the Texans clinch the South, the Steelers are in, even if they lose to Philadelphia. In the NFC, Packers playoff clinching scenario is not going to happen, not because I don't think they win. They can't win in Seattle, or that the Falcons won't lose at the Raiders. They have to have the Rams and Niners tie to kick the week off. All right. But it exists. The Vikings can clinch a playoff spot just by beating the Bears on Monday night, or if the Rams lose on Thursday night to kick off the week, then the Vikings clinch a playoff spot. If Seattle loses to Green Bay, the Vikings are in. And then the Eagles can clinch the East if they beat the Steelers and then the Commanders come off their bye and lose at New Orleans. So, those are your playoff clinching scenarios.
All right. I like these.
So, if anybody's wondering out there, yo, what's the scenario?
Here we go.
Playoffs?
Here we go, yo.
Playoffs?
You just quoting the Tribe Called Quest just made me very happy.
Yeah, you know what? I pay attention to things.
I mean, it's made me.
Did you know it was Tribe Called Quest?
What else would the tribe be called? If not Quest.
Yeah, I
mean, that's my man right there.
To be honest, Rich has left his wallet here in El Segundo
before.
This
doesn't pass smell test.
So. How dare you? You're your family's biggest supporter, so make sure they're protected today with affordable online life insurance through Ethos. Up to $2 million of same-day term life insurance coverage in as little as 10 minutes for as little as $2 a day. It's 100% online, and there's no med exams, only a few online health questions. The mortgage, your kids' education, other costs could all be covered through Ethos. Straightforward protection for the people who matter most. Get a free quote at tryethos.com. That's TryEthos.com. We finished the show yesterday with A.J. Brown's comments after beating the Carolina Panthers, to win 9 in a row. Him not happy with the passing game. He had 4 targets. He caught them all for mere 40-something yards. Only 100 yards passing on the day for Jalen Hurts. And, he could have basically said all the questions, what were you angry about on the sidelines? Nothing, these things happen during a game. I couldn't be happier. I love everybody. I've won 9 in a row. Doesn't matter. Instead, he's like, passing game. I was upset over 3 and out. my comment was, my issue isn't that Hurts and him aren't getting along. It's just that he's let that cat out of the bag. Michigan men think alike. Brandon Graham went on the local radio and had his take. This is the OG of the Philadelphia Eagles who is out for the season due to injury. This is what BG, the OG, had to say.
The person that's complaining need to be accountable. And I'm just being honest. What I'm saying? And he noticed. I don't know the whole story, but I know that one is trying. And, 11 could be a little better with how he responds to things. And they was friends before this. It's like, man, but things have changed. And I understand that because life happens. But it's the business side that we have to make sure that we don't let the personal get in the way of the business. And that's what we got to do better as right now, because we know it's an issue. Everybody's seen some things. But we need to be able to talk things out as men. You know what I'm saying? But we need to let personal stuff go, and let's get right for this game, because, man, it's like a lot of stuff. Most of the time, it's just a conversation that just need to be had. But the person with the problem got to want to talk to the person other than others. Okay. That's all I'm saying.
Quite a revealing response from Brandon Graham.
Wow.
That they used to be friends. They're not anymore. They should be talking about it behind the scenes. And I think somebody went up to Brandon, maybe from the coaching staff or the team, to say, hey, you calling out A.J. Brown for not keeping things in-house is you also not keeping things in-house. So he wound up speaking to Tim McManus, who covers the team for ESPN, saying what he said was a mistake. I assume that it was something that it wasn't. I want to win so bad that I just don't want to use the media when we need to talk about something and we can fix the problems ourselves. I didn't add to it in a good light, so that's my bad. I just assumed it made me out to look even worse because I had it all wrong, and now people are going to run with that part. I really just want to win, man, and I want brothers to be able to just hash it out.
So there is something going on?
There's something going on, especially Nick Sirianni today on 94, on WIP, on his weekly. He's got his weekly Tuesday chat. Said he didn't take A.J. Brown's comments post-game as if the relationship between the quarterback and wide receiver having issues. I didn't take it that way. You can do anything and spin it in any way. I took it as we want to get better as a passing attack. A.J. is part of the passing attack, and so we all want to be better at it. He called them both really outstanding people, really outstanding players. He loves that our players want to get better and desire to get better, and that's what we talk about all the time. Later on, he says he goes by what he sees between the two. By the way, Hurts is godfather to Brown's daughter.
Oh.
And that all I can do is judge things on what I see on a daily basis, Sirianni said. When I see AJ and Jalen communicating about the game plan, eating lunch together every single day, praying with each other before the game, there's going to be speculation, and I get it, rightfully so, based on what's happened the last couple days. But all you can do is judge what you see. In my eyes, see.
Yeah. Oh. Boom.
Here it comes.
Well, what do my eyes see?
I see the record.
I see the Eagles taking on a team that, of all the teams in the NFL, could wreck this buffet even more.
Boom!
If the passing game's not working and they come across state and, heaven forbid, end their 9-game win streak, it'll just be more fodder until these guys play a playoff game, which they will, and they will do, and they will probably do it at home, and they'll do it against maybe the Commanders for a third time. Do the Niners slip through and get in there?
Who's out?
Anybody from the sniffing it category making it in? I think the Rams get in as a division champ, as you know.
Right.
Could it be Seattle coming across the way? Mm-hmm. That's what's happening here. But all I know is this. Philadelphia kind of joining Boston in that category of, You're never happy until you're most unhappy. 9 straight wins, and this is the conversation.
What are we doing?
Well, 10-1 last year, and then...
But they're... Come on now. It's a different season, I think. That'll wrap up this show.
My World with Jeff Jarrett takes wrestling fans behind the scenes, along with King of the Mountain, Conrad Thompson.
I wanted to ask you about what you know, if anything, on the new WWE ID program, where they're apparently going to be working with some independent wrestlers.
My encouragement to any independent wrestler out there, build your value and then understand your value, and then you create your own leverage. There's no substitute for hard work and getting over.
My World with Jeff Jarrett, wherever you listen.